So for tonight, I just wanted to share a brief devotional from 1 Timothy. And so if you have your Bibles with you tonight, and I hope you do, please turn to 1 Timothy. We're going to be looking at chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 for tonight's encouragement. And as we look forward to our time of public testimony tonight, where we as a church get to praise God publicly for the things that He has done for us over this past year, I just want to take the next 10 minutes or so to remind us all that we have so much to be thankful for. And we can say that as believers, regardless of whether our financial or family or physical situations have improved at all over this past year. We can say that simply because of the relationship that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what this past year has been like, to have a relationship with God brings gratitude when thought of it. God brings gratitude because of the nature of our relationship with Him. And that's what I want to remind us of tonight in advance of our time of testimony. I want to remind us all from 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, of three aspects of our relationship to God that can bring gratitude to the heart of a believer. And those three aspects are the superiority of our relationship with God. That's in verse 6. Then the stability of our relationship with God in verse 7. And then the sufficiency of our relationship with God in verse 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. So the superiority, the stability, and the sufficiency of our relationship with God. Those are three things that we can always give thanks for and rejoice over. The superiority, stability, and sufficiency of our relationship that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, let me read just very quickly our passage that is set before us tonight from 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. Paul writes, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time that we have for the next few minutes to just consider your word briefly and to remember the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus and the relationship we have with you. Father, I pray that you would remind us of that well of joy that we can draw in relation to our salvation this evening. And I pray, Father, that from that consideration of what you have done for us in Christ, our hearts would be filled with thanksgiving and that we would confess that to one another and to you tonight as a church body. And so lead us by your Spirit, Father, we pray, through your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first aspect of our relationship with God that ought to bring us gratitude tonight when we think about it is the superiority of our relationship with God. That's in verse 6. Paul says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, what Paul is saying here is that when godliness is combined with contentment in our lives, that is great gain. That is a great gift. Now, I need to be clear, godliness here is not referring to mere outward actions of religion. If all you have is that, then what you have is what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:5, an appearance of godliness while denying its power. So godliness is not about appearances. It's about power. It is about having a real, vital, vibrant relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. One that comes through the gospel and one that is cultivated through a knowledge of God in the scriptures. And Paul says, when you have that saving relationship with God, it is the best thing in the world. And Paul says, and he says, especially when it's combined with contentment. Now that contentment, that word contentment, is really the realization that what I have is sufficient. That's contentment. It is the realization that in this I have all I need. And we'll talk about that more later in verse 8. But Paul says when you actually have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and when you come to realize that that relationship is all you need spiritually, you become the richest man, woman, or child on planet Earth. Realizing that all you have in Christ is all you need is great gain. It is better, it is greater, it is grander than any other relationship, than any other treasure, than any other desire on earth. It is superior to everything else. As Jesus says in Matthew 13, 44 through 46, the kingdom of heaven, which is obtained through a saving relationship with God, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and then covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This teaches us that a relationship with God is of such great worth that it is worth sacrificing everything over. The value of our relationship with God surpasses everything else, making all other riches and relationships infinitely secondary in comparison. As Paul says in Philippians 3:8, indeed, I count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So we need to ask ourselves tonight, what makes a truly rich life? Is it a large bank account? A diversified portfolio? A secure retirement fund? No. A truly rich life. A life that is to be envied, that is to be sought for, that is to be treasured and rejoiced over, is a life that has a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ and has come to realize that that relationship is of the greatest value and worth. So I want to remind you tonight, again, this is a very simple devotional. I just want to remind you tonight that if you have a relationship with God tonight, then you have a reason to give thanks because you have the greatest treasure of all. You have received God Himself in Christ Jesus. Now, I get it. Some of you might be sitting here thinking, okay, Pastor, but I'd still like to have a cool $1 million right now. Thanks, right? Because while I'm still not convinced of the value of godliness in my life, I do know what $100 will buy me. To which I would want to reply, really, what will $100 buy you? Will it buy you anything of any real lasting value? Let's talk about that. We've talked about the superiority of our relationship with God. Now let's consider the stability of our relationship with God. And this is in verse 7. Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. I mean, that's like a mic drop from Paul, right? That's the facts. Tell me one thing that money can buy that will go with you after you die. Name me one thing. The answer is nothing, right? Solomon observed in Ecclesiastes 5:15, as a man came naked from his mother's womb, he shall go again and shall take nothing for all of his toil that he may carry away in his hand. And again, Psalms 49 verse 17 says, when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. I want to remind you that as a pastor, I've conducted many funerals. And let me tell you, the rich man goes into the ground the exact same way the poor man does, with nothing. And yet, what do most people spend most of their time in life pursuing? It's money that vanishes. I read a story this week about a rich man who died. One of his relatives asked the lawyer, how much did he leave behind? And the lawyer wisely answered, everything. And it's true. I'll never forget the trip I took back in 2002 to New York City. That was back when people still wanted to go to New York City. And I saw all of these people running around frantically, pursuing money on the stock market, pursuing popularity on Broadway, pursuing influence in government. And I remember being struck by how distracted the entire crowds were as they were running around here and there and everywhere, chasing everything that they wanted, not realizing how quickly their life was evaporating underneath their feet and how fleeting all of their desires really were. Listen, Satan will give you everything you want. He will give you the whole world if it keeps you from the only thing that'll ever last, which is a saving relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so listen, if you don't have a saving relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ tonight, you literally have nothing that will last. You are impoverished. But if you have Jesus, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And behold, I am with you always, He promises in Matthew 28:20, even to the ends of the age, nothing can take us out of His hands. Do you believe that, believer, tonight? Can you confess tonight that your relationship with Jesus Christ is superior to anything else in your life, any other desire, any other dream, any other relationship. Can you confess tonight that Jesus Christ is your foundation and your stability, the thing that will never change, that you've grounded your life on, and your hope on, and your joy on, and your peace on? Because this is a reason to give thanks and rejoice. It's because of the superiority of our relationship with God. And it's because of the stability of our relationship with God. And then finally, we can rejoice because of the sufficiency of our relationship with God. And that's in verse 8, where Paul says, "But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." That's all we need in life. We need food for our bellies, clothing for our backs and for decency, and a relationship with God for eternity. As my professor in South Carolina said in a very southern way, all you need is God, grits, and a garment. And except for trials, all those things are promised to every believer until their appointed day. And so be content. And I've never forgotten it. See, there's nothing wrong with you having stuff, but there is something wrong when that stuff has you. And we need to remember that if we have God, then we really do have all that we need. Now, you might be thinking tonight, I'm looking around and that's not a lot, Pastor. And that's where we need to change our minds and our thoughts, because as Colossians 2:10 puts it, we are complete in Him. As the first two chapters of Ephesians reminds us, in Jesus we're blessed with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to give. We're chosen by God to stand before Him holy and blameless. We are unalterably chosen in advance for divine blessing through adoption into God's family. We're set free from the just wages of death through His blood. We're forgiven of all of our sin. We are given an ultimate purpose in life. We have a sure inheritance. We have a living hope. We've been sealed with the guarantee of an inheritance, the Holy Spirit. We're fulfilled. We're sitting with God in the heavenly places. We're experiencing the immeasurable riches of God's grace and kindness towards us. We have become God's masterpiece for good works. We're being brought near to God by His blood. We have peace with God. We are a new humanity. We have a way of peace towards others. We have access with God. And we are being built together with other believers to create a holy dwelling place for God. When you take time to get your eyes off of your circumstances, and you take time to put your eyes on Christ, you will be content. You will realize, in Jesus, I do have all I need. And this is the origins, by the way, of the Thanksgiving holiday that we're about to celebrate this past week, even though we don't remember it. Our Puritan forefathers celebrated Thanksgiving back in 1621, not because they were rich, not because they had all of their dreams and aspirations fulfilled. No, they lost everything in coming to America. But they gave God thanks because on these shores they had food for the winter, they had clothes for their body, and they had freedom to live out their relationship with God. They gave God thanks because they knew that their relationship with God was sufficient. As Psalm 16 verses 5 through 6 declares, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have been given a beautiful inheritance." Our relationship with God is sufficient. And so as we prepare to enter into this time of public praise, let's remember the primary reason for why we give thanks tonight. It is the relationship that we have found with God through faith in Christ Jesus. No, our relationship with God is superior. No treasure on earth can compare to the eternal riches that we have in Jesus. He is our greatest gain, surpassing every other earthly desire. Our relationship with God is stable. While the world offers fleeting pleasures, in Jesus we have a rock-solid foundation for life that can never be shaken. No matter the trials, we are secure in His love, and nothing can separate us from His presence. And then finally, our relationship with God is sufficient. We're complete in Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing, blessed with a living hope, and blessed with the promise of eternal life. And so, tonight, let's offer up thanksgiving to God in light of these truths. No matter our circumstances, we can stand up tonight and rejoice and give thanks that we have been given the greatest gift of all, a superior, stable, and sufficient relationship with the God of this universe through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, if we have clothes on our backs, if we have food on our plates, And if we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts tonight, then with these we will be content. With these we will give thanks. Amen? Amen. So let's pray, and then I'll open it up for the next 20 minutes or so for all of you to give testimonies of praise to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us tonight from your word of how wonderful this relationship is that we have found with you. And Father, we thank you that we have found that which is of greatest worth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that relationship that we have found with you is a stable one. While the rest of the circumstances of our lives might ebb and flow, you remain ever true, ever faithful, never changing. And Father, we thank you that this relationship we have with you is sufficient, that we will never meet a single circumstance in our life where you will not give us exactly what we need to be able to endure it for your glory. And so, Father, in light of all the things that you have given us in Christ, we pray that we would give you a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving tonight that you are worthy of. Give us grace towards this end, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.